Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9's Multicultural Program. The Orange Ribbon is a symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism and international understanding. At Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have comments on the program or would like to ask any questions, you can SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. On today's show, we have our mayor who will be chatting to us from Brazil. He describes himself as a Welsh-Brazilian Jew living around the world, but stationed in Brazil. We have a lot to talk about with our mayor, so stay with us here on Orange Ribbon for another interesting chat on Joy 94.9.
All day, all night. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark, Sam and Hugh. And our guest this week is all the way from Brazil. His name is Almir. Almir, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, loud and clear, hearing you.
Good, good. We had a few problems with the line, but we've managed to get it fixed. And that's why we played two tracks. We never play two tracks at the beginning, but just for you, Almir, we did it this week.
Thank you.
Now, Almir, to start the show off, could you just we know you're in Brazil, but where about exactly are you in Brazil?
Well, I'm on the northeast, which is on a state called Pernambuco, on a city called Recife.
Okay.
Which is, is the fifth biggest country in Brazil, city in Brazil.
Oh, the fifth biggest. Okay. So what type of weather do you get there?
Oh, pretty much very tropical, stable, but as we winter down under here too, we're having some rain.
Okay. Now,
but never too cold.
Okay. There is a slight delay here, so I'm going to have to give you time to finish talking. Now, there's two people sitting in the studio with me, Almir, and that's Mark and Sam.
Hi, Almir.
Hi.
Now,
hi there.
Mark is actually Welsh, and in the introduction I did for you, in the introduction I called you a Welsh-Brazilian Jew. Do you want
it's an unusual mix, isn't it?
Oh, very. Very.
So how did that come about?
Well, I was born there as my mom and my father were there. And moved back here when I was 3.
Okay.
And been here most of my life.
Yep. So are your parents Brazilian?
Yes, my mom was born in Brazil. And my dad is Irish.
All right, so there's Irish in there as well as Welsh, Brazilian, and Jew.
Well, there's not a you poor breed Jew anywhere. They're from all over the places.
You've got the excuse.
And from nowhere at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, you've got the excuse, Mark. He is from Wales. You know, it's one of those little countries, as you'd probably know.
Yeah. as opposed to those big Scottish countries.
That's it. And our other presenter is Sam, whose mic wasn't on the last time he tried to say hello to you.
He was trying to shut me up as usual, but no, that's all right. I'm here now. I'm hearing loud and clear.
Now, just give us a little bit of your background. I mean, you've been involved with radio stations and cable TV. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my background, I'm an economist. Basically, I have been doing a lot of researches and ended up on marketing. And as a result of that, I ended up engaging on manipulating somewhat radio programming and helping them to actually get more focused on their audience. So my work is to feed on the audience feedback and adapt programming and subjects, especially reports and stuff, for the audience to be aware of many things, especially things that can help them on their lifestyles and their citizenship.
And you say you travel a lot around to do this job, so it's not just based in Brazil, is it? Travel all over the world?
A lot, believe me.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. The country passes for many political changes, so citizenship is a very good and big issue here, and people need to learn to do it.
Okay.
There's a huge gap between government improvement and citizenship improvement. They still don't communicate too well.
Now, you said on your radio program you had a lot of gays who were interested in your community show. Why was that?
Well, basically because we have this flag of no prejudice at all. So whoever wants to speak out and whoever wants an answer for any sort of questioning, we are more than happy to reply. And there's nobody here that actually does any gay communication work.
Right.
You see, it's a very open-minded country and a very welcoming country, but still there is not a very good organization around it.
Right. Well, we're going to have to come back to Amir's story very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Call Joy. 1-300-JOY-949.
Joy 94.9. This is On Driven with Mark, Sam and Hugh. And our guest this week is Almir, who's talking to us all the way from Brazil. Are you there, Miss Almir?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am here.
Hi, so in the introduction, we were just talking about you being a Welsh Brazilian Jew. I'm just interested to know a bit more about being a Jew in Brazil. Brazil's sort of seen as a very Catholic country.
Blah 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 blah. And then it comes. To oh God! I heard you so low. Say that again and speak louder, please.
Yep. So I'm just wondering, being a Jew in Brazil, most people think of Brazil as a very Catholic country. Is there much of a Jewish population in Brazil?
Oh yes, there is, and it's a very long relationship. It gets back basically to medieval ages.
Right.
Brazil was a route for Jews to flee from Inquisition.
All right. Okay.
So there is a very long history of Jew migration to Brazil.
What about?
But there's no prejudice about it.
What about the gay community? Does the church interfere anyway there? And what they do or try to do?
Oh, well, you see, it's the gay community in Brazil is not very organized, and at the same time, some groups are very strict. It's growing. Gay organizations are growing here, but yet we don't have anything such gay Jew community or anything like that.
Okay. What about the government? Because I remember you telling me that the government are quite liberal as far as the laws in your district are. What have they done to help the gay community?
Oh, it's been done a lot in the last 5 years. Actually, just yesterday, they voted that all gays are welcomed to put their partners on their income tax and get deductions as dependents.
Okay.
Which was something that only married people could do. So slowly the government, year by year, has been issuing rights, I guess legal and citizenship rights to gays, although marriage is still not good talk here.
Yeah. So is there
not a... the government talks too much about it. Neither the gay community actually cares too much about it.
So is there a concept of a civil partnerships or sort of pseudo-marriage in Brazil?
Oh, yeah. Civil servants actually were the first issued because the government wanted to diminish prejudice. And what they did was they started to issue a whole bunch of policies. And that includes pension plans, health plans, and all that kind of things.
Cool.
So if you're a gay couple, you're almost considered to be married by your local government.
Yes, that's true.
Do you think gay marriage will ever come into Brazil?
I've been trying. Well, you know what I've been trying to check out is that if with these advances here in Brazil, the result of people coming out and actually assuming themselves as partners formally has been happening, but there is not really official statistics about it, and they still have to be very secretive, you know? It's just like... I've been calling, as I was going to be on air with you guys, I was calling some organizations and stuff, and all the answers were, we can't give up this information, so
really?
It's still the gay community is still somewhat shy about it, you know.
So is that...
But we don't have a clue of how much, of how many people are already included on these programs.
So is that because people are still afraid to... come out, or is there a stigmatization of coming out still, or is it just social norm?
I guess it's a mix of everything. Basically, historical and cultural. You know, it's just Latin American in itself. The whole left of Latin American is very Catholic, and it's very, let's say, based on roots. That mix Indian, Africans, and this is not an easy task, you know.
Okay.
So I guess people are still having difficulties to deal with the possibility of actually coming out for more than gay pride, you know.
Yeah.
For more than partying on the streets and going to bars.
So do most people live a fairly secretive life still over there?
In a sense, yes. On the formal sense, you see.
Yep.
Now you told.
It's just like they still resist of formalizing the thing of signing papers as gay, and all that kind of stuff. Although they go on streets and all that displaying kind of stuff.
Yep.
But on the formal sense, especially concerning partners, there's still some sort of caution to do it.
Mayor, you told me that where you live, you have a gay high school.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, because the first time I've heard about it, it was strange. See, you know, the government started to do this new school, fine. And then this new school was designed exclusively for gays. Mainly because gays on high school were being quite harassed and all that kind of stuff. You know, teenagers are not very friendly people at times.
Yeah.
And it's because...
So, this high school has a whole program basically focused on that. And it's strange also because there's a huge lineup. For the next 5 years, they will be not opening vacancies for new students because there's a huge lineup to go to study there.
So, Almir,
and it's funny also because yep.
Just a quick question as well. Do you think that separating the actual gays from the straights and putting them into different schools is going to help acceptance, or do you think that's going to make them think, oh, they're going there because they're different?
I don't think that's the right thing at all. You know.
So, do you think they should stay together?
Helps. Well, I like altogether kind of stuff always.
Yeah.
I don't think that... I think that one of the main issues for gays and bis and whatever is to show themselves as people.
Mm.
And I don't think it's a good policy, although it solves certain problems at times, you know, but I still think it's a sort of a segregative kind of policy.
So is part of the reason for needing this school is that if you were a teenager in a regular school and came out as gay, you would be fairly severely persecuted? Is that one of the main reasons?
Yes, that was one of the reasons. And this was a starting point for a nationwide process of working on schools to diminish prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Amir, we're going to have to come back to you. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Hugh, Mark and Sam. And our guest today is Amir, who we are talking to on the phone all the way from Brazil. So there is a little bit of a lag, but if we sort of talk over each other, it's because we think he stopped and he thinks we've stopped. So, are you there, Amir?
Yes, I'm here.
Good.
Excellent. Now, Amir, before the musical break, we were talking about a gay high school. And you explained, you know, what the idea behind it and everything else. Now, another thing that you told me was that in Brazil, you have three transvestite mayors.
Yes.
Now,
it's strange, you say, because it's like I've been observing is that the government is issuing many, many rights, and it's been one of the first countries, actually, that there is not a need to have such a huge, let's say, struggle to get rights as gays or members of a GLBTQ community, which is much more than being gay, right?
Mm.
And now, the next step is working, and that's where gay militants here has been working on, is to vote an act that considers criminalization of gender prejudice, because gay crime here is still sort of a big time issue. Mm. And gays are very focused on that.
There are
some cities that kill gays very easily.
Now, one thing you mentioned to me was that you have neo-Nazis and skinheads.
Yes, the very stupid kind of thing, because a country from Brazil... excuse me. It's too early in the morning for me here.
you haven't had your coffee yet.
Well, what time is it? What time is it with you, Amir?
I am at 1:35 a.m.
Oh, okay. We'll forgive you then.
So does that mean you're just coming back in?
It's funny because it's just like Brazil's a huge melting pot.
Yeah.
And nobody here actually feels as from outside. So it's very good here in that sense, because you are not a Jew, you're not a Japanese American, or you're not an Italian Australian. You are just Brazilian, despite of your background. And in the southern region, we're starting to have this sort of neo-Nazi kind of stuff and skinheads kind of crap, which is a stupidity.
So
anywhere.
So what do you think is causing what do you think is causing that sort of reaction for these groups to start?
Social frustration,
yep.
As anywhere else, you see, minorities that actually don't get to work, and then whatever reason they have, they feel frustrated and try to take control over violence, and it happened, but mainly concentrating on two states, which is São Paulo down south, and also Paraná, which is also down south. It's not a thing that is spread countrywide.
And you're saying that there's a lot of pressure to pass sort of a hate crime bill so that where these people are causing these sort of problems that they get punished.
They go, yeah, they wanted people to go straight to jail, and they want to have special police districts to deal with gay crime. You right. see, because hustlers here have been killing some gays that go and pick them up on the streets, and some bars, you have cases of people being drugged and taken and being robbed and all that. And also transvestites, which are always, which mostly are involved in prostitution, they also get very hassled.
Right.
So are the police taking it seriously? Are the police currently, do they have any kind of rights to come from their side? Is it, or is it hard for them, or is it just that they're not trying, or?
Well, you see, they try to go to regular districts and, you know, post their cases and all, but, you know, the police itself, it's very meshes here, so they don't give much attention. So they are ashamed of being humiliated or having their claim not really taken seriously.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they now want to have these special ones, which is something that happened here, because there are special police districts for women violence, and they want that for gays as well.
So we were talking about the schools earlier and some of the things that have been happening there. Now, what was it like for you when you were younger? Were you growing up there? What was the differences that you've seen?
Well, you see, I didn't feel much difference, and not much difference at all, because actually, well, how can I explain that in a short way?
So,
well, you see, firstly, I was raised under the concept that as long as I could be happy, I could be happy with a man or with a woman.
That's
and
funny.
I shouldn't feel ashamed of that.
Okay. Amir,
that, that was the way I was raised. So I didn't feel anything.
Amir,
actually.
We're going to have to come back to
yep.
your story. We'll come back very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Out, proud, loud. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. This is On Driven with Mark, Hugh and Sam. And our guest today is Almir, who's on the phone from Brazil. And before the break, Sam actually was talking to Almir about something. What was it?
We were looking into his childhood and what he felt about him growing up in Brazil and the school and what it was like.
Okay, Almir, do you want to carry on telling us about growing up in Brazil?
Yes. Yeah. Well, as I said, I was raised very liberally in a sense of that I could find my way and I should find my way. And as long as I would be happy, I'll be fine. So I never had any sort of limitation or other than ethical and moral, I had no limits, which was good. And basically comes from my family, which is very liberal at some extent, despite being a Jew family, which is all Jew families are supposed to be very strict, right? But as mine wasn't Orthodox, I didn't have any problem. I only started to have some sort of problem, especially at school at teenage time, and because it was like I could be with boys and with girls. So it was confusing for me and more confusing for whoever was around.
So were you out in school, or did people know that you were gay in school?
Well, you know, I don't... No, I was never out. And I never felt the need to be.
Uh-huh.
And but whoever asked me, if I would answer straight away.
And what about and how about your family as well? Were they aware at a young age that you were gay?
Well, you see, they started looking up because they would see me with a girlfriend for a certain period and with a boyfriend with another period.
Okay.
So it came the time that I had to speak to them about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did they take that?
It was like, hey, what's happening here? Let us know.
Yeah. And how old are you when you told them?
I actually did.
So how old were you when you told them?
19.
Cool.
And I didn't say anything because they already saw it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They realized it.
You formalized it.
I just wanted to formalize it. You see, it's just like I'm not too sure whether I can stand up and say I'm gay, whether I can stand up and say I'm bi. I'm just letting you guys know that I've been doing a stoat. I'm happy and I'm fine.
That's good.
Almir, let's talk a little bit about HIV prevention in your country. Now, could you tell us exactly what's the government in your country doing for HIV?
Well, great stuff. You see, first, all treatment as cocktails and medicines and doctors and stuff is free. And it's very discreet. And also, they've been working with certain universities to try to develop a vaccine or something.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, just late last year, a university here starts to produce a sort of an anti-corp based on DNA. So what they are trying to do here is just like they take HIV-positive people blood and extract their DNA, and the DNA that the virus assumed in their bodies, and they are attempting to build a vaccine through that. So they would start in about, they say, 15 years time, which is a long period, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they say that this vaccine could work with already working and symptomized people with HIV, which is very good. So HIV here has been under control on the GLBTT community for quite a while now.
And
treatment has been granted to all people to reach out for it.
And you were saying earlier that Brazil is one of the first countries to do that free for anyone, basically. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And now they are supporting... They are starting to produce medicines here in Brazil, and there is also, for the health ministry here, a huge budget to send medicines to Africa, because it's like the situation there is awful. I don't know if you guys had a chance to be there, and actually I would advise anybody to get informed about the situation in Africa, because it's really, really bad.
Yeah, it is.
What we see on TV is nothing like going there and walking on the streets. It's just, it's revolting.
One fact that you told me, Amir, was that the gay community hasn't, or is not shown a huge increase in HIV infection, but the heterosexual community and the elderly aged are.
Oh yeah, that's the side effect of Viagra. Yeah, you see, it's just like people over 60 here, they refuse a lot the use of condoms.
Yeah.
And with Viagra, what happens? They get more active, right? And with that, AIDS has been increasing on heterosexuals, especially on women, because like the women in Brazil are not promiscuous, but the men kind of are.
Yeah.
So it's that they fool around, they go to the houses, and you know the rest, right?
You know the rest.
So is it that HIV is still seen as a gay disease over there, and that's part of the reason that they don't sort of acknowledge
not
the
anymore.
Risks? Right.
Not anymore. For about 5 years, people here talks about HIV totally as a disease, not as a gay disease.
In Brazil, Amir, let's just move on a little bit from HIV. And in Brazil, you have gay parades?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
How many people actually attend the gay parades in your country?
Well, you see, there's this huge one, which is in São Paulo, that's considered one of the biggest gay parades in the world. More than 3 million people go on the streets.
3 million.
Wow.
And on other cities as well, you have it. You have it in Rio, you have it here in Recife, but on a smaller scale. But usually concentrates not less than 500,000 people.
That's huge. Considering...
Not really for here. There's a lot of people here.
There is.
You know, the population in Brazil is like 196 million people.
Yeah. So you were saying...
When you talk about people's numbers here, everything is huge.
Yeah. You were saying that obviously there's the crime trouble in some areas, like, and I think São Paulo was one of the ones you said, so... It's strange that although you have the sort of homophobic crime, it also has one of the biggest gay pride festivals in the world. Is that?
Yes, you see. Yeah, that's one of the contrasts. Because if I'm not mistaken, last year, a French guy was a victim of a gay crime in São Paulo. He was after the parade on the bars and partying on the streets and all, and the guy came with a car and just shot him dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so do the police sort of, at least at the gay pride events, police those more strictly or better, I suppose is a better word?
Yeah, the region of the gay parade, when it's happening, it's very secure and people are very friendly.
Yeah.
And you don't have fights or anything like that. But the thing is, when it's over, the bars get packed, the streets around it get packed. So the revolted people might have the brilliant idea, as this ass last year had, to go there and protest for people being so open. Because, you see, I don't know there, because I know Newt of the Australian gay reality, but people here, you know, when somebody sees somebody too happy and being well-respected or anything like that, or being at least listened, some groups or some people get revolted inside themselves.
Yep.
You know, I guess the issue goes for, you know, own self-esteem, you know. And I'm not sure. This sort of thing happens there.
What do you think about the overall community? Do you think it's just one of those things that the general overall population is fine with it, and that, you know, that you're getting more rights, so everything is looking good, and it's just while that's happening, there's a small number of people like that don't want that to happen, but it's still generally overall getting better and better?
Yes, I guess so, because you see, it gets very evidential. Mm. So the topic is being discussed, the topic is always, and some people might feel that they are not being seen. Some sectors of society might believe that they are not being seen and they are not having their needs cared for.
So we're getting all the attention and they feel obviously impacted by that.
Yeah, sort of. Because, you know, this year, it started this year in Argentina. Argentina actually gave the first step for legalizing gay marriage in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And they started now trying to talk about marriage in Brazil again. But the issue here is that considering the Brazilian constitution, marriage is a status given to people that can raise families, mm-hmm. you know?
Is it the Catholic
MSKs
Church?
Don't raise families.
Amir, is it the Catholic Church that's maybe blocking gay marriage, or is it the government?
Well, you see, not really. The government in Brazil doesn't pay much attention to religion. It's very laica. The constitution is very laica. Yeah, so the churches, all the churches, actually, especially the Protestants and the Baptists, not really, but the Pentecostal church here has this huge movement that they cry out a lot, but the government doesn't care about it.
Okay.
Not to the point of actually doing what they want.
Yeah, I think that gives us a much bigger insight into it.
Yeah, you see, that's the good part. Lately, the government here hasn't been manipulated by religious groups.
That's good.
Okay, may it last a long time. Amir,
get better and better.
Amir, can you hear the music?
We're coming to the end.
We're coming to the end of the show, unfortunately.
Oh, what a shame.
I know, it goes so quickly.
I was enjoying it.
But I would like to thank you very much, Almir, for coming on the show today and getting up at 1:30 a.m. just to talk to us and our audience.
Yeah, thanks very much.
More than my pleasure.
It was fantastic to meet you, Almir.
I've been being around with you guys.
Thanks a
lot. That's great. Well, thank you, Almir, and stay on the line. I'll have a chat to you when we get off air.
Thanks very much. Speak to you
too.
That's On Driven for another week. Our thanks to Almir for taking time out today to have a chat with us. Also, thanks to Michael for his programme support. Coming up next on Joy is the Women's Zone with Katie. Unfortunately, Kaz is not with us again, but Katie, I'm sure, will play some great music for you. Thanks for joining Mark, Sam and myself on Driven. It will be back again 2 p.m. next Saturday afternoon with more insights into GLBTIQ community here in Australia and around the world. Now, I'm being handed a note by Sam to say, to remind you, the listener, that we do have a Facebook page, so look us up. Orange Ribbon on Facebook, and we'd be happy to see you
join. So just add us, it's Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, so you can keep up with the latest events and all the action that's happening on Orange Ribbon.
Great. Okay, thank you, and from all of us, bye-bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.